Welcome to the podcast. So we've got Alex Snow, but before we give Alex a little intro, this is mine and Theo's first episode. So say hello, Theo.
Hi.
Right. And Alex, so we'll do a little bit about you. So if you can give us a bit of background for those that don't know a bit about you, obviously we know you're a British champion and you're a junior champion. So where did it all start?
Yeah, sure. So obviously my background initially, going right back to the start, actually, I was more football orientated, believe it or not. And just as I was kind of growing up a little bit, the bikes all of a sudden came along and I just seen it and something I was really interested in. And it was actually my uncle that started me off because our family didn't really have a background in it. So yeah, dad had never ridden or nothing to do with mum's side. So yeah, so it sort of started there. I started when I was about 9, riding a little bit, and then quickly realized I had the wrong bike, needed a dirt bike. And then, yeah, so my uncle helped us. We went to our first race to watch about 11, and then it quite quickly progressed from there, really, just as you always do. You start locally and in your region and area, and then it kind of went from there, got a little bit more confident, done nationals.
Yeah.
Moved up the classes. And it literally, yeah, I guess it snowballed, shall we say, from there. And then obviously, yeah, I had a good career in motocross. And then end of 2016, I switched to enduro and went across to that. And that's been successful. And now off the back of that, although I still race and won the British Championship last year, I very much... I am actually officially retired, although I still ride a lot, but I do my schools. So I do a lot of coaching with the young riders in motocross and enduro. And then I also run like an off-road experience for GasGas. So I'm still, literally every day I am around bikes and on a bike and involved in it in some way, shape or form. So for me, it literally has been my life really since I was 10, 11.
Amazing. There's loads to unpack there. Just on a very that first bit you mentioned, when you mentioned you started with the wrong bike, can you give us a bit of info about that? Because that'd be valuable from a bit selfish almost from our point of view, because obviously Theo's looking for his first bike. But where did you go wrong? What did you start with, and then what did you realize you had to change to?
So basically, it was over the dinner table. One of my uncles had ridden road bikes from all his life. He never had a car license, and I sort of mentioned that I like motorcycles and I wanted one. And he had an old, it's like a Suzuki 120 twin shot road bike. I mean, this was in the 70s sort of era. And he, to be fair, him and my dad went through it and painted it and tarted it up, and that was one of my Christmas presents. So that was my first bike. So I was riding, all of a sudden he see me riding around the field, my other uncle did. And he said, I didn't know you were into bikes. That's great. But if he wants to ride around the field and off road, it's the wrong bike.
Yeah.
So obviously us being none the wiser, right? Okay, what do we need? So he then brings a CR85 out, a Honda 85 at the time, which is one of the, it's not a new one by any means. It was a secondhand used bike. And he said, you want to have a go on this? And I thought, ooh, that is mean. Like, I want to have a go on it, but I'm too scared to. And going back to one of your questions, I know you've mentioned to me about a funny story. The only reason I actually got on that motorcycle was because my mum got on it first. basically, I ended up with a road bike and quickly realised that wasn't going to cut it for motocross. We had to... Within 6 months, we'd already changed that one and tried to get on the right path.
Yeah, amazing. So how, obviously, you said that nobody in your close family was into it. So when you did get into it, how did you actually fund it? Did your parents help you there or did your uncle help you?
So uncle was always around a lot of the weekends when I initially started. We were very lucky where we grew up. We had like a little couple of acre paddock field and, I could just sort of ride around there to start with. Then he introduced us to a race. Went down and watched that and was kind of blown away by it, as you kind of are, initially. And then, it was down to us. So dad's friend lent us a van who he worked with, and mum and dad took me in. He was very much from there. It was us. And then my younger brother, he came along. He was 5 years younger than me, but he, a few years later, he started as well. So it quite quickly became a family affair and, very much obviously a case of being pushed by mum and dad and supported mm-hmm. by them. So
brilliant.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of fond memories from that, to be fair. So yeah, it was good.
We've seen like quite a few like real youngsters on, just by looking at Instagram, having like 3-year-olds, like 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds all on little dirt bikes. And it's amazing now. It's almost as soon as they can walk now, they're on a bike.
Yeah, literally. I think especially with these little balance bikes now and these little revies and the lot of little electric bikes and stuff that are accessible to, it's making it a lot more easy to kind of get going initially. And yeah, almost as soon as they can walk, they're on two wheels, aren't they? So yeah, it's great to see, to be honest. I love it.
What are your views on sort of electric bikes versus, you know, internal combustion? I suppose it's always the noise factor, but have you sort of got experience of them as well?
No, not a great deal, if I'm honest. Only my electric mountain bike, which I love. That thing's awesome, but it still doesn't quite cut it because it hasn't got an engine. For me, I think it's got its positives. I think going forward, it might bring back more places to ride that we've lost over the years due to noise complaints and stuff. However, you know, at the minute, you know, the battery life is always an issue. You know, you need a generator to charge it. How many batteries would you need to get through a day and do the same amount of riding that you would do on a tank of fuel? You know, there's obviously your arguable points. The other thing is, are they tested and ridden enough in the wet UK conditions? Because that certainly will put them to the test. But right. I mean, I like the idea and I think it will be good. But for me, like any motorsport, the noise, you know, you can't beat the sound of a crisp, good sounding engine, can you? And it adds to the atmosphere for me personally. So, I'm sure I'll ride one in the future, but I'm not too worried at the moment, if I'm honest. So.
I think Theo thinks exactly the same, don't you? That's what we mentioned in the first episode. We did a little intro episode and Theo said the same, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just likes the sound. And a friend of mine is into his cars and he's got an electric Porsche and like a GT3. And he took me out on the electric one. It almost doesn't make sense. It's just insanely quick. There's just no noise to it. It just sounds like a little spaceship.
I mean, I went to the Isle of Man and watched the TT a couple of times. Oh, and the noise from, you know, the race, you know, the race bikes is just phenomenal. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And you can hear from kilometres away, you can hear them coming. And then you watch the Zero race where there's literally just a bit of chain slap and it just doesn't even compare, you know?
Obviously, when you gave us that intro, you mentioned you sort of went from motocross into enduro. What sort of spurred that change?
For me, I just needed a little bit of new motivation. So I'd had a pretty good career in motocross. I enjoyed it, got a lot of, you know, lot of friends from it and a lot of good stories as always. But I just felt I got to kind of a point where I wasn't willing to sort of take any more risks than where I was. And to be honest, I felt like I needed a little bit of new motivation. We're riding the same tracks year in, year out. And I thought, and it was just literally just as one of my really close friends, Steve Holcomb, who rides for Factory Beta, 7-time world champion, was just when he first went pro and he was winning his first world championship. And because obviously we'd grown up, though he's a bit younger than me, I'd sort of grown up with him. I was watching it a lot more and I'd always done a few enduros. I'd always quite enjoyed being in the trees and stuff. And I paid more attention to it. And then I went riding with him one time and he showed me some stuff. And I thought, you know what, I quite like this. And I had previously, sort of 6 years before that, been offered a deal for enduro, but I didn't feel like it was the right timing. So I sort of turned it down and stayed in motocross. And I just sort of thought, right, I'm going to sort of see what's out there. I did a couple of races and, you know, did okay. Didn't set the world alight by any means, but I thought, you know what, this is good. I like this. And and then it kind of went from there then with Honda at the time with a guy called Dave Thorpe and the Build Base Honda team. I kind of rode and worked a little bit within their off-road experience and within Honda and obviously raced for them at the same time. Basically sort of prolonged my career out a little bit longer really by having a few years in enduro, so it was good.
I was going to say, was it sort of spurred on from like almost a self-preservation thing? Because I'd imagine with the motocross, they say the risk of injury and pretty severe injury is quite high, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I think, they both have their differences. Certainly if I'm a motocross, because it's direct racing with other people, there's a lot of things that are out of your control sometimes. And with the jumps and stuff like that, yeah, there's certainly more serious injury. With enduro, it's very much you against a clock and the terrain. So you tend to have equally as many crashes, but you haven't got people directly behind you or alongside you, and right. You're not jumping things as much, shall we say. So the risk is a little bit lower, I would say, from the serious injury. Yeah, it's much easier to probably actually crash because of the natural elements with the rocks and tree roots, etc. So it's different. I think I had a bit of fresh motivation, it did sort of prolong things out a little bit and give me like almost a new lease of life a little bit.
Yeah. And so how long have you been doing enduro now? When did you make that switch? What year did you say that was?
So the end of 2016, I did my first race, and then obviously I turned for 2017 onwards through till 2021 was my last full year of racing where I was really kind of committed to it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of 21, beginning of 22, I then sort of switched my attentions more so to my business and my coaching side of it.
Perfect. That's a lovely segue. That was going to be our next question. So can you give us a bit of a rundown about the business, where that came from, the idea, and how you went about setting up and sort of where it is now?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, back in like 2009-10, I actually first started doing some training schools just for some local kids, and some bits and pieces people were asking me. So, at the time, it was a nice way to earn a little bit of extra money on the side when you had a quiet weekend. And I kind of found like I really enjoyed it, and it kind of made me think about how I was riding. So it was always good. And then I slowly started doing more and more as you get more people asking you. So I always kind of did it alongside the motocross racing. And then when I switched to enduro, I kind of was like, I don't know how this is going to go. Am I going to suddenly lose all my customers because I'm now not racing motocross? And if anything, it just helped, because all of a sudden I started gaining experience in enduro, so that meant I could offer some enduro training. And especially now in the past two or three years, where I've built, I guess, a little bit more of a reputation in enduro, it's actually just grown my business from just doing motocross to motocross and enduro. So over when I started in enduro, I also set up what I call like a race school, like an academy. So I have like a subscription where riders join me monthly, and we sort of work on different things throughout the year and try and build them as better riders and help them with the training and everything, really. So that was cool. And then I guess from there, that sort of, again, that started in motocross, but it's also now in enduro. So I think I've got just under 50 riders now that I look after and I see monthly. Mm-hmm. So that's quite good. And then obviously the next step, which has just started, which is something I sort of have only been doing the last sort of eight or nine months, was I partnered with GasGas just about, like I say, 8-9 months ago to run their off-road experience. So it's another level of expertise, I guess, we can offer, but we can offer it now with bike hire. So we can introduce people to the sport that haven't ridden before. People that ride road bikes that want to come and try off-road, they can. For people that want to try to, or even test the variations of models of bike, they can. So it's just some new planes of direction we can kind of go in with it. And it, for me, it's just something else, maybe from a longevity point of view, that I can build alongside my coaching business, and they kind of work hand in hand. So yeah, it's been quite exciting. It's been a very busy, especially when my daughter came along just over a year ago, in this last year, building up to the business, and then obviously from taking delivery of the bikes and then getting it moving.
Yeah.
It's been a whirlwind, to say the least, but we're definitely sort of moving in the right direction now, which is obviously good. So
they do look impressive. Quite exciting, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, those, from what I've seen, like just looking at your website and your Instagram, some of those GasGas days, but really decent. What areas, like for those that might be interested that listen to this, what areas do you currently run them in?
So our two main venues, we have, because I'm from the southwest down in Devon, so I have a venue near Tiverton in Devon, that like a 4,000 acre venue, so we can do stuff on there for people who don't have a motorcycle license or have never ridden, to people that have licenses, and we can go kind of further afield around there. So we've got a really good area there. And then I've also got a venue that I use sort of spring through till autumn up in North Wales, near Oswestry / Llangollen area. And that, again, it sort of opens up a little bit more for the Midlands and North. And that's, again, it's a 1,000-acre estate. Don't need to touch a road. Yeah, it's great. So that's also works very similar to Devon. And then obviously there's other, I've tried to build like a couple of different experiences for to offer different types of product for different people, I guess. But the other one, we do like a 2-day trail ride. So this obviously limits you to, if you have a motorcycle license, where we go from mid Wales all the way up to Snowdonia in North Wales. That's a really scenic,
yeah,
nice 2-day ride with like, we do like a package with accommodation, dinner and that. So that's a really cool one. So that's kind of like, I guess, a stepping stone. And then I guess our biggest one that we do, or we're starting to do, is I do, and this is based from some of the race teams I met in when I raced in Italy. We do a 4-day, 5-night tour in Tuscany in Italy. So again, wow, the customers fly in, we drive down with all the bikes, and then we take them for 4 days riding in the mountains. So that's, yeah, it's almost something for everyone there, you know, depending on what level you're at and that. So that was my vision behind it anyway.
Brilliant. I bet that took some setting up. It certainly looks well run, looking at what you've got on the website.
Yeah, it's like I say, it's certainly taking a lot of work, a lot of exploring different avenues, options, and trying to figure out, I guess, our niche a little bit and what we wanted to achieve from it. And obviously making sure we're doing the right thing from a business point of view, but from our customers our partners is in GasGas, Michelin, MotorX, the people that sort of support it, you know, is making sure that we're getting their products out there and doing that justice for them. So
imagine you're trying to sort of get, it's, I suppose it's a fine balance, isn't it? We're trying to get the right number of dates in, but obviously not diluting it too much, because I suppose there's only so much you can do. Back end like admin and booking in, isn't there, as well?
Yeah, no, I'm very lucky. Like we try and keep it within the family. So my partner Jazz, she does a lot of the admin and the customer relations side of it, and the communicating there. So she'll do all of that side, which takes a good lot of stress off me. Because obviously there's only so many days in a week that, and especially from the coaching side of it, that's very much a personal thing to, I guess, what I can offer as an individual. With the experience days, although we offer some tuition in there, it's very much an experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about me personally, it's much about more the package that we offer. So I can, you know, I've got a couple of guys, some other instructors that I trust that are really good. So I use them as well to help me a little bit. So yeah, it's starting to, like you say, it's trying to dilute it. Keep the focus where I need to, but obviously also delegate, you know, where I can. And it's, you know, it's building that trust, isn't it, with the people you work with to be able to do that. Yeah. So, you know, we're getting there slowly. It's starting to, like I say, everything's starting to fall into place, and we're just trying to channel it to kind of what works for us, I guess. And until you kind of get going, you don't always know that, do you? So,
yeah, that sounds brilliant. What I'll do, I'll let Theo come into the mic, because I'm mindful that obviously I've hogged it a bit, just going to answer those questions. So Theo, if you go for that first question there, though.
What's a typical day like for you?
Ooh, they've certainly changed in the last sort of 18 months or so from when I raced. But no, normally I normally get up, I'm a bit of an early bird, I normally get up sort of 6:30 most mornings, and I try and any of the ad I mean, from my side, I try and get some emails done if I need to, and do a little bit of organizing first thing. Then I get breakfast, and then I'm normally on the road. So, like, I'm sort of heading off somewhere for a school. So, yeah, I'm normally on the road for always normally a minimum of an hour, but just depending where we're going. And then, yeah, we normally arrive at the track sort of 9 o'clock, sign on the riders, and then we head out on the bikes at 10. We train through till around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, again, depending on the level of the rider and how, you know, how far they can go, depending on how tired they are. And then based, just depending on that, each day varies. I guess I'm quite lucky in the respect that every day is different. So it's quite exciting. Sometimes, especially in the summer when we've got like nights, I might stay on and have a little ride myself when I've when the customers have finished and gone. Other times, obviously, I come home and I might have some bike maintenance to do or organizing for the following day. I still try and get out and do a little bit of exercise, although I don't train and I, you know, like I used to. I still enjoy cycling, running and stuff. So, you know, I sometimes will try and squeeze that in. But also, like I say, with little one now, I try and get home a reasonable time and have a couple of hours with her before she goes to bed. So, yeah, quite often after dinner, I'm almost back out in the workshop at 8 o'clock, you know, tinkering around and doing something, like I say, for the following day. So, yeah, it's quite non-stop sometimes, but like I said, I don't think I'd have it any other way, to be honest.
Brilliant. Yeah, sounds full on. Do you allow yourself much time off? Is there much opportunity for time off? I suppose, like I say, even if you're not at an event or coaching, there's all the back end stuff that goes along with it, isn't there?
Yeah, so Mondays is a typical day for me to be at home. I wouldn't have said it's a day off. It's more of a case of like kind of keeping on top of stuff. Things like lists to go through, things to order, preparing for, like, say, for the week, you know, sending confirmations out, organizing stuff with the customers. So Monday, quite quickly, although I'm working at home, it, you know, slightly different side of it. Yeah, it's not really a day off. I do try, especially now, like, say, my daughter's come along. I try and have always like one full day with them as a family. And then, you know, I still like to have my day, you know, like, you do. I need to satisfy the inner child in me, so I like to have a day on my motorcycle if I can, and do a race or something. So, you know, it's still very much a balance, but it's quite easy, especially when the weather's good and, you know, you've got a lot of people wanting stuff, to almost continuously fill days if you want to. So you've got to have a little bit of a boundary, haven't you, at times, and have a little bit of a life, obviously. So
Right, I'll let Theo ask another question, because I know we're mindful of the time. We've got roughly about 9 minutes left on the recording. So, Theo, do you want to ask a question?
Do you have any kit that you just can't live without?
Oh, would that be like motorcycle kit, do you mean, or just like a general piece of kit?
How about both?
Both.
Yeah, it'd be good to know both, like one like motorcycle based and one maybe, you know, that could be anything every day.
Yeah, so it's funny you ask that question. I'd say from a motorcycle kit point of view, my knee braces, if I forget them, I don't want to ride. I really like, you know, they're good quality, good bit of kit that just give me confidence that I'm not going to hurt my knee, and that. So yeah, my knee brace is a really important part of my gear that I wouldn't ride without. From a general day-to-day, actually, I'd say my Garmin watch. It actually broke earlier this week, so I didn't have it on, and I felt a bit naked not having my watch on. I'm continuously, my life is always kind of racing the clock for everything, it seems, and like every time I look down at my wrist and it wasn't there, it just felt weird. So yeah, my watch is like, yeah, is quite a big part of me, it seems.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's good tip. What brand knee braces do you use?
I use CTI, so again, they were a sponsor of mine from when I first started, to be honest, in like turned professional, and I have not used anything ever since. They've been, you know, always been a great support of mine, and you know, I think a lot of other riders, but yeah, they're great quality. You know, they do different, obviously, levels of, you know, budget and whether, you know, made to measure, etc., as custom ones. So yeah, they've got a kind of something for everyone, really.
Brilliant. I suppose it's all about relationships and sort of building a long-term relationship with certain brands, isn't it? Just going from there.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very small sport, you know, and it's not kind of the right place to be, you know, sort of jumping between different things all the time and chopping and changing. It's much nicer to build a rapport up and a relationship with the same people. Yeah, it's just kind of nicer that way, isn't it?
Completely. What I'll do, we'll ask one more question because I'm mindful of your time as well because it's in the evening. So, Theo, if you fire off that last question there, because that'd be a good one for you and for others too.
Do you have any top tips for like new restarts?
Yeah, one thing I say quite a lot actually, there are lots of things I heard growing up that I used to think, oh, that's interesting and this is interesting. There's one thing that I say to a lot of my customers that are trying to learn something and almost scared to fail. And it's don't be scared to make a mistake. You learn more by your mistakes than you do by the success quite often. Mm-hmm. And yeah, do not be scared to get it wrong because you learn so much from it. And eventually you will get it right. So don't give up. Don't be scared to get it wrong and just keep striving for you know, to be where you want to be, and you'll get there, or at least somewhere close.
Brilliant. And that's probably like applicable to sort of every aspect of life, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, literally. It exactly that. It is literally, and that's, I guess, why I think from a training point, an instructing point of view, that I've sort of learned as I've got older, I've changed the way I've done it, because if you can relate it to something else that you know, i.e. general life, work, school, another sport, driving, whatever it might be, like if you can relate to it, you can understand it better. And it's just for me, that's I think it's quite important to remember sometimes. Not everyone's perfect.
Definitely. Okay, right, we'll wrap up there. But what I would like to say as well, so if for people that want to find out more about what you can offer for the business, the coaching and the GasGas days, where's the best place for someone to get hold of you?
So yeah, my website, which is alexsnowoffroad.com. There's a couple of sections on there. The Alex Snow Offroad is all the GasGas stuff with the bike hires and the different things we offer. And then there's a section called Alex Snow Racing, which is obviously my first business, which is the actual direct race coaching for people already riding with their own bikes. So there's kind of two little sort of divisions on there. And there should be something. I'd like to think there's something on that for everyone. So
brilliant. That's awesome. Right, Alex, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate that.
No worries at all. Yeah, it was great to speak to you guys. Thanks for your time as well, and I look forward to watching the journey.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Bye.
Bye.